This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and Kyle Yeomans.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It is Kyle Yeomans from DallasCowboys.com. Kyle, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing good. How's the scene out there at Buffalo Wild Wings today? You guys doing good out there and having
no.
fun with the crowd?
We moved Kyle. You to Thursdays. So what? We're not at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, weird. That's weird. Oh, yeah, it is a Thursday, isn't it? Huh?
Well, you know what? As long as we're going to be spicy to kick this off,
allow me,
if you will. Your big facts on DallasCowboys.com, all right?
Uh-huh.
Fact number four. The Cowboys are a plus 19 in the fourth quarter. That currently ranks third in the NFL. Now.
Yes, sir.
I'm not disputing any of the factual evidence of that statement.
Oh.
Does it feel like it's less impressive seeing how all of that margin can be taken out via just the Ravens game? So, like, I guess my argument would be outside of that game, they have been decidedly average in the fourth quarter.
No, I completely agree with you. I mean, whenever it comes to, one, writing that article, a lot of the times it's not necessarily supposed to be facts that backs up positivity with the team. And a lot of times it is a negative fact just because that is the fact, right? It's what the stats say. It's what the numbers are. And you are completely right. You take the Ravens game out of that where Dallas was going up against a defense that had really let off the gas a little bit, an offense that went into park the bus mode, and then they were able to make a bit of a comeback there. They haven't been good in the second half. And you can say so what you want about Pittsburgh and the fact that they went down and they scored the 14 points in that game too, that helps out. And that was probably the most impressive fourth quarter showing they've had. But CeeDee Lamb has been a non-factor in the second half. The running game outside of Pittsburgh has been a non-factor in the second half. And I think that's a stat that more so points to what they did last year in the fourth quarter, as opposed to what they've done so far this year outside of the Pittsburgh game, where they actually did find some rhythm and were able to put some points on the board.
Kyle, we've been kind of going through this, trying to figure it out. I feel like the Cowboys each week have made marginal, incremental advances. They've gotten a little bit progressively better. I use all the words that I think that describe that just now. But they've gotten a little bit better each week. And the discussion with us this morning was Rico Dowdle. And Kevin said the defiantly, is that the word you use?
Definitively is what I would go with.
The starter for this team. And I say de facto. Where do you land on this and your thoughts on how he's progressed and how they've grown together this season?
Yeah, I think he has grown into that role, but it's still a small sample size. I don't want to completely chalk up Rico Dowdle as a success story based off of one game, because the rest of the sample size hasn't been good enough for me to see exactly what they're trying to do from a rushing attack standpoint. And part of that is because they've been playing from behind, kind of back to Kevin's point a moment ago, is they've had to play from behind and score late in games to even be in the conversation. And that doesn't necessarily bode well for your rushing attack. But part of it is also the skepticism we've had since training camp of this isn't an explosive running back room. Well, Rico did what he needed to do against Pittsburgh. to kind of silence that for a moment. But am I just far and away blown away by his ability as a pass catcher, as a ball carrier? No, I haven't necessarily been blown away yet. Has there been growth? Yes. Has there been improvement? Yes. But that can very easily come to a halt this week against Detroit when you're trying to get into the shootout. And you kind of go back into what you had done the first 4 weeks of the year. So I would just say jury's still out whenever it comes to Rico Dowdle, because whether it's a de facto starter or it's a definitive starter or even a defiant starter, because going into the year, you thought it was going to be Ezekiel Elliott or whoever else could have been there, and it's Rico Dowdle staking his claim to that position. Whatever it may be in the thesaurus that you guys are using over at the Fan, I haven't seen enough yet, and I still think there's a lot to be decided.
It's the thickest thesaurus out there. That's the one thing I do know. Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question then that is not football related whatsoever for both you guys? I think it might exist now, but back in the day, I wanted to create a children's cartoon about the world's smartest dinosaur called the thesaurus. And he would like just try and he would run amok and people are like, I'm terrified. And the other one would be like, how about scared?
Oh my
and
gosh.
Like try to teach you words along the way. Do you think that could have worked?
I think it could work. You've already pitched these children's book ideas. You want me to write a book on the triplets?
You need to write that book.
I know I'm slacking behind it, guys. It got into football season, but the thesaurus. I just feel like it would be a dinosaur that would get annoying really quickly and butt in all these different conversations, right? Like you would be saying one thing. Corey's talking about the I don't even know what you're talking about. Whatever topic you're on, and then he just pops up out of nowhere. And the thesaurus just upends your conversation.
So you're saying the thesaurus is Mike. That's what I just heard you say is the thesaurus is Mike.
He's just going to butt in and tell you a different way to say things? Is that
yes.
what Mike does?
Yes.
Yeah, that's completely Mike.
Is Bassick in the building? Is he there?
He's in Italy.
Yeah, he's in Italy. Oh. This is another week.
He can't even defend himself.
Nope. And we're I'll perfectly okay yeah. taking him to the top rope and putting him down that way. Kyle, what is the element on this defense, the part of this defense that you trust the most right now?
Ooh, there's not really one that stands out. Maybe your secondary, because you're getting guys back, because there's a chance Deron Bland is on a pitch count going into the weekend. Mike McCarthy very adamant that you got to see him practice first before you say he's available. But I think all signs are pointing that he should at least be active on Sunday. So that's a positive. You should get Kalen Carson back. That's a check mark. You have Trayvon Diggs. Amani Oruwariye has done a great job in terms of coming in off of the free agent market and providing some spark there. So I'd say the secondary, but you mentioned the word de facto earlier. That's just because that's the only one that has their starters or guys, leaders that aren't banged up. I mean, Eric Kendricks has popped up on the injury report. And I think with him not being out there today during the media portion, we'll see what the official designation is on the injury report around 3 o'clock here or so. But I'm not super confident that Eric Kendricks is going to be good to go this weekend. And if that's the case, you're down a linebacker. We all know what's happening in the edge rusher room, and your defensive tackles haven't necessarily played unstoppable football. Yeah, they played better in terms of gap fit and run defense and some of those things over these last couple of games, but there's still a long way to go for that defensive tackle group. So, yeah, I think I'm looking at the corners, and it's mostly just because you've had some depth step up in a big way with Amani Oruwariye, and those guys are coming back into the fold, and that's always a positive.
Now, when we're talking about Deron Bland coming back, and I understand you got to see him practice first and everything like that.
Sure.
I'm curious about the mental aspect of that return for the team as opposed to just like getting him on the field. Can you feel like, do you think you'd feel a little bit of extra energy or a boost from the guys when they're like, dude, we got our interception machine back or one of our interception machines back?
Yeah, I think it does. And he's so well respected and well liked in that locker room too. I mean, I would put him in a short list of guys that would be one of the top names in the locker room for everyone. Nobody has a problem with Deron Bland. So having him back and knowing just how hard he's worked to get to that point and to have that success, I think everybody respects him so highly that it does. It provides a little more energy and a little more boost going into a game that I think on paper everybody looks at as a tough challenge and a really bad matchup for the Cowboys. You at least have one of your dogs back. You have one of your guys. And whether it's just 15, 20 snaps, whatever it is, having him back in the locker room, back with the team, not in the rehab group anymore, I think all of that works in a positive way.
Overreaction or reality, to steal from Kevin, CeeDee Lamb doesn't need to be good in the second half for this team to be good.
So this is not just this weekend. This is throughout the season.
Throughout this season.
Oh, I'm going overreaction.
Yeah, I'm thinking overreaction. No. Yeah, so overreaction would mean he needs to be good in the second half, right?
Correct.
Yeah, then I would say overreaction. He needs to be better. I think that's part of what you get as a $34 million receiver, is you've got to be best when crunch time.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hits. And there are things that you can do outside of catching the football that help your team be successful. I thought a great example of that was the Seattle Seahawks this past weekend. Geno Smith was rolling out on a bootleg to his right and running a route down the right sideline. So the direction that Geno was going against the Giants, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Rockwall native, was running a route, and he looked up in the sky to try and fake that the ball was in the air. Both guys that were covering Jackson Smith and Jigba took off trying to cover the receiver, where meanwhile Geno Smith is just trucking along down the right sideline and no one is even there to defend him. It was a high IQ play, and I think that's something that CD can do. Whether it's a decoy, whether it's catching footballs, at the end of the day, you've got to be better on film, in the stat book, all together, because you are a cornerstone piece of the franchise. They gave you that title when they gave you the contract. I think the first half he's looked like a top receiver in the NFL. Second half he hasn't been. So, yeah, I'm going to stamp that one as a severe overreaction. He's got to be better if this team wants to get where they need to go.
Speaking of that, how much does this team need to, stay competitive in the first half of a home game? Because any opportunity you had for a home field advantage was wiped out in both of their home games because they fell way behind.
Yeah, and they did so early, too. It was – after the win in Pittsburgh, you saw the clip, I think, on social where Mike McCarthy was talking to the team. He said, 3-0 on the road, 3-0. And it kind of struck me because it's like, yeah, normally it's 3-0 at home. Great job, everybody. You protected home field. But they've just played better on the road than they have at home. So this is, and I would argue, this is the toughest test that they've faced at home. And if that's the case, you saw what New Orleans did. You saw what Baltimore did. Detroit is a better team on paper, in my opinion. They're more complete. They've got better offensive line play. They've got more weapons outside of just the quarterback and a running back here and there. I think there is just as much talent on this Detroit team as you could say for at least Baltimore and New Orleans. So, yeah, you've got to get off to a great start, because if not, you're going to be in a heap of trouble.
And last overreaction to reality here. Ooh. If everybody on this team played like or approached the game like Jordan Lewis, this would be a much better team every week.
Yeah, no, I think that's reality. I love his mindset. And he's always been very real. And whether that's with the media or in the locker room, I mean, he's got a locker very close to Dak Prescott for a reason, because he's, one, been around this team, and he knows kind of the ins and outs of what it means to be a part of this organization. But also it's the veteran mentality of no excuses, just get it done. And that's what he said after the two losses. He said, it was the details conversation, right? Mm-hmm. I felt like he repeated it over and over and over again. That's just Jordan Lewis. That's not only frustration from losing two straight and giving up a heap of rushing yards and not being physical on defense. And it took guys like J. Lou and the DeMarvian Overshones and these guys that like to be physical to win these last two games, to win against New York, to win against Pittsburgh. If you don't have a physical aspect to your football team or a kind of an a-hole mindset to your football team, then you're going to have some troubles. And I think that's kind of what it's been for J. Lou. He's provided that and helped you out building that mindset and that culture around your team the last couple of years.
Are the Cowboys going to win this game?
I would be lying to you if I said they did, or if I thought they would. I don't think it'll be a blowout, though. I think they'll establish it early, but at the end of the day, I just think the Lions have more depth and a more complete football team, just like I said, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think it's a high-scoring affair. Dallas is going to put up points against this Lions defense because they will give up the big play. They are undisciplined in the secondary. I think there's ways that Dak Prescott can have a big game, Jake Ferguson, CeeDee Lamb. So I would say like 38-31 is right around the score that we're talking about. But I think the Lions and what they bring from a rushing attack and the weapons on the outside, it's going to stretch this Cowboys defense significantly.
Thank you very much, as always, good sir. And thanks for moving to Thursdays for us.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll talk to you again next Thursday.
There you go. Kyle Yeoman's right here on 105.3 The Fan.
He's good, man. He's really good at what he does. I'm glad we were able to keep him around after the Friday incident.
I know he does other things, but I really hope when the football season's over, I'm assuming in mid-February for us, that he will think about writing that triplets book. You alternate.
And obviously the thesaurus book.
Yes.
Is it okay if he steals that idea from you?
Yeah.
He's like, I'll write it.
I mean, it'll probably go to the triceratops of the chart. I want to thank very much the text that came in from the 210 that helped recommend that genius line of thinking. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Corey is disappointed in me, but also one reason for the Cowboys still to be optimistic about this season, as well as you brought up Jordan Lewis. What goes into being a good trash talker? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Ewers sprinting out, squares, throws, touchdown Texas, Matthew Golden.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got a lot to dive into. Want to ask for one particular reason you still think the Cowboys could be successful this season. Also, the Red River rivalry. We've been talking about that all week long. Quinn Ewers is going to start for Texas. So I wanted to kick this around for you guys, as Texas is a massive favorite going into Saturday's game at the Cotton Bowl, 2:30, which, by the way, you can hear on our sister station, 1080 AM. Arch Manning has slightly better numbers than Quinn Ewers this season before Quinn Ewers got hurt. I know it's been Quinn Ewers' team. It seems like Arch Manning and this offense have been electric. Were you surprised at all, or do you think it's the right call to pivot back to Quinn Ewers because this is probably his team?
Two different things. One, Manning, which we never really thought of before, can run. Quinn Ewers, not as much as an effective as a runner. But if you look at the stats, do you feel like what Quinn Ewers did was against better teams and what Manning has done is been against lower tier teams?
Yeah, okay.
Does that matter to you?
No, I get what you're saying, because obviously Michigan is going to be the best of the bunch that they've played, whereas Mississippi State is terrible. I know it's the SEC. I think it's their SEC opener.
That school.
They're not good at football right now. So I think that is a very fair assertion.
So that's kind of where I stood on it was, it was Quinn Ewers to start. He did Manning did a really good job taking over and not falling off by any means. The future is for Manning, but this is Quinn Ewers. This is his last year, right? Like this would probably be
it
his last year.
It doesn't have to be, but that is the general thought.
And that's got to be a weird place to be in for him too, because he's got to be looking at it going, they don't really want me back next year. I win a championship, can I go out on top, or do I want to spend one more year making more money in college and also enjoying the college life than I would as a rookie?
I'm really fascinated over the next 10, 20 years to see how many players will fit in that, hey, my rookie contract's going to be this, and that's awesome, but the boosters here said they'll make sure I get $6 million or
and
whatever
again,
it
you
is.
Are, if you do well, if you're a good team, you're the king of the campus.
Yeah.
You get to the NFL, it's business now. It's real business now. And everything's a lot different. I mean, you still get a lot of free things, but it's very true. Different. But when you're king of campus, man, that experience is never going to come back to you. You never get to do that again. So you go away, now you're in business for the rest of your life.
Now, Corey, I'm not trying to rain on your parade, as I know you're an Oklahoma fan. We'll get to the Cowboys in just a minute. But Deion Burks, the leading wide receiver for Oklahoma, has been ruled out for Saturday's game. Oklahoma was already a 15-point underdog. I know they'll be like, oh, throw out the point spread, throw out the record. How are you feeling about Oklahoma?
Soft tissue injury for Deion Burks.
Yeah.
Offensively, like that's going to be a struggle. It feels like they've lost every one of their receivers. Farouk Anderson, Anthony Gibson already been ruled out, so you got that going on. I guess J.J. Hester is kind of becoming the one that you're going to go, okay, that's the guy. Hawkins is a true freshman. It's not an easy bag to throw him into and say, hey, you got all these options here, but they're not the ones you wanted to start with. So I think you got a couple of different options, but this is Hawkins having to try and make up for it the entire time. But I think, like I said, I think Seth Luttrell's done a really good job of finding places for Hawkins to run, being able to, you know, navigate getting down the field. The OU defense has been serviceable to better than you expected at times. I just don't know if you can keep up with Texas. I feel like whichever quarterback is back there,
it's going to be Ewers.
And quite honestly, yeah. Well, I mean, let's say Ewers was to leave the game for a little bit. They still keep clicking with Manning.
Yeah.
And I think in college, a lot of times it is which quarterback is better. And it's pretty clear at the moment that Ewers is better than Hawkins. We'll see. Because Hawkins could change the story pretty quickly. But I think that it's just really tough to keep up with the pace of what that offense is. But we've seen weirder things happen in that Cotton Bowl, man.
That is true. Now, on the Cowboys front, I've been thinking about this quite a bit. And Bleacher Report had an article about, let's just say, one particular reason why every NFL team should still hold out hope for a successful season. And I think their one is really spot on, because Mickey said it was like astonishing or miraculous, something along those lines, how well that the defense played in this past game against Pittsburgh. But Bleacher Report throughout, despite some crushing injuries, the defense has given up 17 points or fewer in all three of the Cowboys' wins. They're not going anywhere if they get healthy. So I've seen the text that some people think being without Micah and maybe without Tank is beneficial to this defense. I don't see that at all. But I am encouraged by the fact that this team won a gutsy game that they don't usually against Pittsburgh, and their defense has been okay in several of these games, even with the injuries.
With Micah and Lawrence out, it just continues to test your depth. And Mickey's brought this up, and I think that's the continual fear is, Kevin, we've always talked about the Cowboys don't typically look at worst case scenario enough.
Yes.
They look at best case scenario a lot. And making sure that you are in a worst case scenario taken care of, they've kind of had to scramble and react as opposed to being proactive to things. I'm not going to go out there and say that I feel like this is a much better team without those guys. They have beaten two teams effectively without them, but I'm not willing to say that.
Okay,
at all.
What would be your one reason for hope then?
For the defense or for
the team?
For the whole team? The defense.
What?
It is the reason for hope is because Mike Zimmer brought in this defense and he has made it better. Look, I'm not saying that it's look, the guys played the way they were supposed to play. Their depth played the way they were supposed to play. They trusted what Mike Zimmer put in. Go watch the times that Micah has been out on that edge, and instead of sealing off, he's scrambling back and forth going, what do I do? Tyrus Wheatwood just said, I'm carrying this dude with me until I see you make your break, and once you make your break, I'm shaking him off and making the tackle. That was something nice to see. I do think because, I'll say it, Dak and the defense are the two things that I do think that you can hang your hat on right now, as long as the Cowboys defense is what we actually saw the last 2 weeks.
Now, I want to pivot just a little bit, and Alec, I'm going to ask you this. What makes for a good trash talker? Because we've talked about this in the past. Monra St. Brown claimed on Instagram that Jordan Lewis was running his mouth. Jordan Lewis responded, on Instagram, I'm a passionate about my craft. I don't want to be friends with everyone, especially not a Detroit Lion from Detroit. And so the first thing I saw is it's got to be at least somewhat factual to like kind of sting to the core. What makes...
Funny, because Jordan Lewis is from Detroit.
He knows. Absolutely. He know. And we asked him about that, and he was like, look, man, if you're going to talk, be ready. What do you guys think makes for a good trash talker in sports or in life?
More than anything, Alec, I think the ability to back it up. Because if you're a trash talker that can't do anything, I do... Who was the guy that said, hey, Pat Riley, hey, Jimmy Butler, maybe don't talk trash to the opponent when you can't go out there and do anything about it. And so I think the ability to back up the trash talk is the single most important thing to being a good trash talker.
Not even just backing it up. I think just living that and continuing it and not backing down from it, period. Because I did see Jordan Lewis did talk to the media yesterday and they asked him about that, like what he was saying in the quote where he said, if I did say anything disrespectful, I'd probably say it again. Like that's one of the best responses you could have. So I think the fact that like, even if you do get burned, you say, I don't care. Next time around, I'm going to do it again and I'm going to get my lick back. So I think just being consistent, staying consistent, but especially like factually accurate stuff. Like if you can just be real and keep it as real life as possible, that's the most fun. Because like that's even me in my stupid old intramural football league that I play in, doing 7-on-7 and stuff. I'm like, I'm not going to talk unless I can back it up and I can use factually accurate stuff. Like if you're 6'4", you don't need to push off of me to get separation. I'm short. What are you doing? AKA last night. Still zero catches on zero targets.
Okay.
That's all I got to say.
See, and I was going to ask, would you rather be in the trash talking position? Because somebody was like, Luca's the ultimate trash talker. Would you rather be in that position where you know you have all the innate skill to back it up? Or would you rather be like that defender? Like we talked about Danny Green. He retired today. He's been on our show many, many, many times. Yeah. Would you rather be that defender that's like, I don't necessarily have to back it up as much as I have to throw their star player off their game? Like, which role?
I just got to stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would you prefer? The guy who's like, oh, no, I'll talk trash and I'll do everything. Or would you like, my role on this team is to be an irritant?
Man, that's I want to be the one that has all the skills to back it up.
Okay.
But it is great to have that person, the other one, around because they know what their role is. They know what they're exactly what they're supposed to accomplish in this game. And it's going to make that other guy, the one who has all those skills, going to make his job easier.
Alec, I thought about one of them as kind of being what they call in wrestling the chicken S heel.
Yep.
Like they will run their mouth, but when it's time to fight, they're like, oh, I can't. My leg is hurt. Shoot. Or if they lose, they'll be like, everybody knows you guys were all against me. The ref cheated and blah, 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 blah. So that kind of feels like the other version of that.
Yeah, man, stop the count.
Shut up. I knew you were going to go too far. Alec, please,
I don't know. What are you
please
talking
answer
about?
The question with something that is not about politics.
Oh,
I was talking about wrestling.
No, you weren't.
Well, you got to stop the count when they kick out.
Exact. Thank you, Alec. One, two, and what happens when they kick out? You stop counting the wrestling thing.
Nobody is at a wrestling show chanting "Stop the count" when they go one,
if they want,
two.
If they want their greatest, their best Roman Reigns to win, then they want the count stopped.
You know what, Kevin? Next time they come to Dallas, you know, we got AEW coming to Globe Life Field next year. We're going to start a "Stop the count" chant. Anytime someone gets outside of the ring and they're counting up to 10 for a count out, that's exactly what we're going to do, because we want them to stop so the match can continue.
By the way, from the 903, Larry Legend was the greatest trash talker. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's a dude that's like, I'm going to shoot a shot from right here, and I'm going to make it. And then he does it, and then on the way up the court, he's telling you how he told you he was going to do that, and you still couldn't stop him from doing it. That's the great stories right there.
I like Floyd Mayweather as the goat at trash talking. I would just use words that he doesn't know, like magnitude.
Whew.
And then you'll magnitude. Just confuse him. I've told this story
before. You have that drop anywhere? If you've ever seen that video, go look it up, Alec. It is a video where he was like asked about the magnitude of the situation. And he stood there for a second and he goes, whew, magnitude. And that was it. Like, look, that was the moment.
That's a great strategy. I remember when I was a freshman in high school, I was in a debate tournament and somebody used one of their main points, use a word that I did not know what it meant. And I was like, oh man, how the hell are you going to argue against this? You don't even know what that word means. And I knew I was screwed. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Got a lot to go over with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Awesome, Heggy. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I'm always doing better. Thanks to D&M Leasing for bringing us this crosstalk. Now, we didn't get a chance to get to this, but Kyrie Irving said he's aiming to be in position to be on the Olympics team in 2028. He said, just give me a shot. Would you like to see that? And do you get more invested when you're like, hey, that's also one of my guys on the team? Like, not only am I rooting for America, I got like some Mavericks rooting interest going
there. Do you get more invested? I'd love to see it, because if at 38 years old, he's still good enough to play for Team USA, yeah. I think that'd be a great sign for the Mavs. I have two banners by then.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, two banners.
He could be the veteran presence, and then just you just have one or two big moments, and you help lead what will probably be a bunch of young guys at that point to another gold medal.
Now, I have a Stars question, or I could ask you something completely unrelated to sports.
I have a more important Stars question than your Stars question.
He's dunking on your Stars question.
How much importance do you put on tonight's opening season game? Because Kevin thinks it's not that important. I say it's a must win.
I think it's a must win, too.
How is this a must win?
It's a tone setter, clear tone setter for the season. What do you not understand about that?
The last 2 years they won, right? So I think that in order to continue to have success, you've got to make sure you win the opener. If you lose the opener, next thing you know, when are you going to win a game?
Yeah,
you start to doubt yourself.
It's at least a two-game losing streak.
All right, so you're saying Edmonton is done for the year since they got just freaking crushed.
Well, you knew that already. They're a Canadian team, hey.
That actually is.
Yeah,
they have to do is fire their coach, and they're back in the finals.
I'm actually not as concerned about Edmonton, Kevin, as I am with Stars. It's really more about the Stars than it is anybody else. You focus on yourself first.
Okay.
Now I ask whatever other question you want.
One game at a time. You're all gonna go with that, aren't you?
And again, you only get to play the Predators three times, so that's a very important part of this.
And history shows if you don't go 3-0 versus the Preds.
What are you going to do?
Your chances at a cup are like
you are probably
way less.
Still fine.
Okay.
You know what?
We'll see.
Let's go back to the 2019-20 season. The last time the Stars were actually in the Stanley Cup final.
Uh-huh.
What happened that
Living
time?
In the past?
Is that a bubble
they
game?
Lost the season opener.
And guess what else? They lost the Stanley Cup final.
But at least they made it to the Stanley Cup.
What happened in 99?
You want to win it, right?
What happened in 99? Kevin, did they win the damn opener?
The season
I'm going to say they probably did.
Yeah. Guaranteed they did.
You
don't even have to look it up.
I will look it up.
You don't even have to waste your time.
Just because you made that guarantee, it makes me want to look it up. Had you not said that? Because I was mad at Woolchuck because I looked at the last 2 years and I was like, son of a bitch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They did win.
Mason Marchman just crushing it out there.
Well, you know what crap. In 1998-99, not only did they win the season opener,
what
know who they beat? The Buffalo Sabres.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Yep.
I can promise you won't defeat the Nashville Predators for the Stanley Cup.
That is
this
true.
Year.
That is true.
But it could be a conference finals preview.
That is, okay, that's fair.
Ooh.
All right.
home ice advantage right off the jump.
Oh my God.
Hopefully home ice is an advantage this year. Am I right?
That is a good point. How invested are you in this?
Our fans are invested in this thing.
Yeah, they are. Do you think they're going to be if they don't go 1-0 tonight?
Yes, they will. Are you telling me Edmonton's going to be empty the rest of the year because they got dusted last night?
Probably. I think some of their fans are jumping off the bandwagon.
Absolutely dejected in all of Canada.
Especially
right
that one fan with the jugs.
Even the Maple Leafs fans felt that one last night.
Yeah, what's she up to nowadays?
Who the hell knows?
Okay.
She's wondering why they're 0-1.
Yeah. She's upset.
She's trying to find a new team to support. Yeah.
Oh my God. She's looking for a new sweater right now.
What is your takeoff? What is y'all's level of optimism? Not about tonight's game, but about the Stars season.
This is our year.
It'll depend on this year. I missed it. I was going to throw it at your head.
They're beating the Preds tonight, and they're hoisting Lord Stanley's cup in June.
I love it.
This is the dumbest crosstalk I've ever been a part of.
They're going to beat the Red Wings of Detroit.
It's the law office of Wyatt and Stanky. Nobody's stopping those guys
with a little Maverick.
Get it started with the youth tonight.
They need two trades. Veteran defenseman, veteran goal scorer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys pumped that they're going to be up against Wedgewood tonight?
Hockey Dawson.
Look at that.
That's actually really good.
Where did that guy come from?
There's that lifeline I was looking for. Let me grab it.
Wedgewood, a lot of friends on this team. He's probably going to let a couple in.
Yeah, the friends are going to give him a wedgie tonight. That's what's going to happen.
All right, speaking of friends, believe it or not, I have a transition for that.
No, you don't.
I do. My wife's best friend, her favorite movie is Labyrinth. My wife refuses to watch this movie, and she goes, "Do you think I'll like it?" And I said, "There's no chance in hell that you will like it." But her friend and me want her to watch it just because it's her best friend's movie. Have you ever been peer pressured into watching one of your friend's favorite movies?
Oh, yes.
Yes, dude. It's always the horror ones. Like, my friends always loved going to see the scary, like, hey, let's go into the theaters and watch the demonic chick do some crazy stuff for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I hate it every second.
Most of them aren't even good.
It's not my vibe. I'll tell you what. The Conjuring?
Conjurings are fantastic. Both of them are very good.
That lived up to the bill.
That is very good.
And that was as scary as anything very
good
ever.
Sinister, very good.
To this day, the ending of The Ring still kind of freaks me out.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Ooh, I'm trying to remember the ending.
She just crawls out of the TV.
Oh, out of the TV.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
I hate when they snap to her in the closet for a split second and her face is all like... Not a normal face.
I'm not going to see this movie now because you told me the ending.
I didn't.
It's been out for quite some time.
When her face is all...
That was in the middle of the movie. That's just a jump cut there into the closet.
You were never going to see it anyway.
It's like a flashback moment.
I have no idea what you cats are talking about right now.
Okay, can you spell Labyrinth?
No, hell no.
Especially not the way they did. R-Y.
Yeah, they spelled it weird. That's a very strange movie. Did you ever see
what's it about?
Then R. So here, I'm going to try to give my synopsis.
Okay, give us a synopsis.
So Jennifer Connelly really hates her little baby brother, and she's tired of listening to him yap and yap and yap, and she wishes he would go away. So somehow David Bowie magically appears and steals the baby.
David Bowie?
Yeah, David Bowie. Yeah. And takes him back to his magical land of torture where she has to go through all these things, including these like creatures that exchange heads and the hand tunnel where they're all touching Jennifer Connelly.
Is this a Jim Henson movie?
I think so.
Is this like a 1980s movie?
It came out in 1986.
Is this like Agent Orange movie kind of a thing?
It is...
It was like around the same time as Neverending Story.
Yeah.
And that I think this movie is PG, which is shocking to me.
It does not age well either.
Toughen up.
I guess so.
Yeah, they were doing a lot of coke back then.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, have the rest of y'all seen Labyrinth? And if so, what are your thoughts about this movie?
I did too. I thought it was really weird. It's one of my friends' favorite movies growing up. What? And along with Scaramouche. Have you ever seen Scaramouche?
Oh, I don't think I have seen that.
It's like Scaramouche.
Sword fighting.
I'm surprised. I don't think I've seen this movie.
I figured you would have seen this.
Got my sister's name written all over it for sure, you know, but for whatever reason, we never had this. We never rented it, you know.
Because Heggie was kicking in windows when you were trying to rent it.
That was that guy's fault.
There wasn't a guy at the counter to help
Look,
you.
Look, don't steal.
I remember seeing it all the time, though, at the movie store.
It was always between this and Rad for my cousin, and I would be like, "Let's watch Rad again," and she'd be like, "No,
Ratatouille."
Yeah,
we did a lot of the Neverending Story though, and we did a lot of Beastmaster.
Okay, let me ask you a question about the Neverending Story. Does the Neverending Story have the greatest credit song of all time, where Lindahl blasts out the never-ending story, because that song is tremendous.
I couldn't fight you on that one.
Okay, yeah. Good.
I don't know if I'd about
honestly, sure. I would need a refresher
okay.
on the song.
But what about that flying dog who may have been...
So yeah,
cool. The horse.
Falcor is problematic. Mm. If you go really? Look him up,
yeah,
he's problematic.
He go probably shouldn't have been around those kids.
Go watch the scene where Jonathan Brandis scratches his ear and how much he likes that. Just a little too awkward right there.
What so. Dog doesn't do that?
Yeah, well,
and also, since Corey brought up the movie Rad, one of my dreams in life was to be at a school dance where somebody flew through the doors on their dirt bike.
And have a date.
And started, oh, damn.
Wow.
What? Man,
that was a two-hand
jam. That was a two-hand jam.
Not be over in the corner with the rest of us.
But the way that guy wins his girl over is like, I'm going to go into the prom and do slow motion bike moves while we play Send Me an Angel. In what universe does that impress people?
It's an undefeated move, Higgy.
Is it?
Just like the Stars are going to be tonight if they want
to change it. Undefeated to start the season. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
What do you guys got coming up on the show today?
Pure Gold, as always, hey, thanks for asking. Have a lot of guests today. Excited about Jordan Schultz at 3 o'clock, NFL Insider. Eric Kendricks at 5, though. He's going to join us for the Eric Kendricks Show.
If you think any of those conversations are going really well, will you try to ask one of them if they've seen the movie Labyrinth and just get their...
I bet Eric Kendricks would have a great answer for this.
Okay.
So we can definitely ask him.
Looking forward to that roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece Maker with us. Tomorrow we'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville. Remember, Cowboy ticket giveaway, all kinds of cool stuff, and G-Bag flags if you want to come see us. Or tune in 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say it all hinges on tonight, Kevin.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Magnitude. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.